Yes, I did.
How difficult was it?
Difficult?
Why would it be difficult?
Didn't you say you only had 10% deposit for your house?
10% is enough if Mortgage Masters is helping you with home loan.
Mortgage Masters can also help you with refinance or with any rental and commercial property related question. Contact Nathan Saminathan now, a certified financial planner and authorized financial advisor with over 30 years of experience in New Zealand. Call now on 0800-630-7171. Address 619 Dominion Road, Mount Eden or visit mortgagemasters.com.
नमस्कार आणि स्वागत करता हाँ तुमका आईच्या सुशिका दनपार कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्रॅमर वो प्रोग्रॅम आम्ही ब्रॉडकास्ट करता एकशे 4.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम आवर बिल्डिंग कम्युनिटीज कम्युनिटीज फॉर्म द न्यूक्लियस ऑफ अ व्हेरी व्हायब्रंट सोशल लाईफ दीज कम्युनिटीज हेल्प इन डेव्हलपमेंट अँड वेलबीईंग ऑफ दोज हू फॉर्म अ पार्ट ऑफ इट. These communities are also a foundation on which nations are built and provide immense support to the tiniest cell of family unit of wider social canvas. What we are going to do today is we are going to find out how are these communities built, why do people want to belong to a community, and how do these people sustain and promote that community to have a longer life. We have in our studios today Anil Baptist and Sidel Pinto. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Nice to be here once again.
Oh, wonderful, yeah. Anil, you've been here before, but Sidel is making a debut today.
Yeah, it's my first time.
Sidel, you have now become from Sidel Pinto to Sidel Coutinho.
That's right.
Right, you got married
just
recently.
Got married recently.
So how is marriage treating you?
Good, really good. It's fun so far. It's nice to start building your own home and furnishing the place slowly. We've gone from being on the floor for like 3 weeks to now having couches, so that's good.
Oh, very good.
Good start.
Very good. So who wears the pants at home?
I think we both like to think that it's one of us, but I don't know if either of us are.
Okay. So Anil, you have been in New Zealand for a very, very long time.
That's right.
What about 20 years?
21, coming 21.
21 years as such. And you were instrumental in establishing a community to which now Sidel is slowly going to take over, I believe. You were established this community in Blockhouse Bay area. What was this community called and how did you come about to set up this community?
Well, the community didn't start off with any name. It's now developed into a community called Kiwanis, seniors and juniors and what have you. But the community started off basically outside the church, St. Dominic's Church in Blockhouse Bay, by a group of three or four families, Indian families. We came in there and the demographics, we were sort of very much in the minority, so to speak.
Like pepper and pasta.
Yes, yes. We were just there, and the people were very welcoming and nice, but they were new. They were kind of alien to us, you know, and we didn't know them. So we started gathering and eventually just invited each other to our homes, and we started developing a relationship. And that's where the community started. It was four families initially. One family moved away to India and then settled somewhere else, and the remaining three
Still there. Sidel, so how did you come to be a part of this community?
So my introduction to the group, I guess, was through my parents. We had just moved to New Zealand from Abu Dhabi. My parents wanted a better future for us, and they thought that this was a good place to start.
That's what all parents say.
I know. It's true, I feel. It is true. Yeah, so we came here, and we knew one of the couples who were part of this group. They had a relative who was someone who knew my parents back in the Gulf. So we contacted them, and they told us to come over for lunch, and they introduced us to another family who was part of the group, who had kids of a similar age to us, and they thought, you know, we'd gel well. And it so happened that this family was moving, had bought their own house, and they were moving from their rental property into their new home. So we ended up moving into their old rental apartment, and it was very close to their new home, and we developed a bond. Their kids and us would hang out every day after school and play cricket and badminton and cards, and we developed a friendship right from when we were about 10
to
14.
So you had no choice in deciding which community you wanted to belong. It more or less fell into your lap because that's
exactly.
That's what it was, driven
by our parents, yeah.
But tell me, Baptist, Anil, Baptist is my other colleague who today is enjoying somewhere on the beach. But tell me, was there any criteria? Were you picky? Oh, no, I don't want to go with this guy. This family doesn't look great. Was there any criteria? Were there any connections that you sort of looked at before you said, okay, let's gang up with these guys?
No, we don't have any criteria.
What you didn't have a choice or you didn't have a criteria?
No, we didn't have a criteria or anything. It just grew by, I know you, I know. So I have a friend who came from overseas, settled in, so okay, I drew them in the community. Or I knew someone, they knew a relative or a friend who settled around the area. Basically, that was more a geographic thing rather than any particular criteria. Just those who came around St. Dominic's Parish became kind of part of the community. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who joined initially were all from that parish.
So Sidel, you went on a tiki tour, as what they call it. I would call it a tiki tour, but many call it as an OE as such. You would have built a community as such on that tiki tour. So when you decided to go on that tour, you knew whom you were going with. But to build a community, was that at the back of your mind?
Well, I guess it wasn't a goal or an... I didn't want to... That wasn't an intention in the beginning. It turned out that, you know, I guess like anywhere you go, and especially into a new place, you know a few friends who have friends of their own, and you start hanging out with them, and it suddenly becomes this one big group. Mm-hmm. And that's how it ended up being. So I knew a couple of girls who I ended up flatting with. One of them is Uncle Hector's daughter. And so both his children are now in London, and that's where I went. And through them, we knew other friends, and we would just hang out together and spend Christmas together and things. And it was, it was nice.
So were there any compromises, Anil? Were there any compromises in setting up? Well, you like something, but now this group doesn't like it. May I have to give it up? When you sort of got into this group, you have to hang out because where do I belong to?
Compromises are always there. You know, there are things that you have to sort of, you know, it doesn't work in the group, so you say, okay, we won't do it. Or if you want to do it, then you find another group to do it. But I guess faith was thing that, you know, helped us, because we went to the same parish, and after Mass we kind of fellowshipped outside the church. So all these things helped the initial bonding together of the community, and also the fact that our children were almost at the same age. Mm. And they were growing up together. They kind of, you know, bonded well. So that helped. Mm. Yeah,
we all had similar experiences and similar backgrounds, which helped. And yeah, everyone has their own likes and dislikes. But, you know, we respect the differences. And if someone wants to go to a dance and other people don't, that's fine. You go to the dance and you respect that someone doesn't want to. And it's fine. You just move on.
What about leadership? Was somebody required to take the initiative, or was it like, okay, we'll play it by the ear?
Yeah, it's more like you know, somebody comes up with the leadership in a particular area, and then we see if it's going to work, and we go along with it or we drop it. You know, but basically we do have a kind of a social secretary who kind of drives the social agenda. In a sense, social agenda, what we, you know, comes up with various ideas, and then the people either vote yay or nay. So if it's a yay, then we go ahead. If it's a nay, then we just drop it. Not enough people, you know, don't have enough people to sustain it, we just drop it. So we don't have any kind of leadership from the front. It's leadership from the back, really, driving, you know, somebody driving from the back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I belong to a rosary group as such. We established this group a long time ago. It's now almost about, I think so, 15 years that we established it. But it was more out of the same compulsions that you mentioned, so that we didn't have anybody as a family, or we didn't have friends. So the first person whom we met, who was a neighbor back home, where we didn't have much of a conversation, we just knew that they were there, and we said hello and hi. But they also were looking out for a fellowship as such, and we too were looking out, and so we just joined together one day and just said the rosary. And then they said, okay, next time when we meet, we will call a few more friends. And so that's how the group was established as such, over a period of time. So for us, reciting the rosary at every gathering that we come to, which may be once a month or once in 2 months, with some occasion, has to be with the rosary, and then the socializing starts. So people are from all different backgrounds, just like as what you were saying as such. But have any economic status changes or the count for admission been a limiting factor? Like, we are restricted now more or less to about 8 or 10 families. What about y'all?
Yeah, we are also restricted. We got about, I think, 8 families. And what caps, as I said, what you want to say with others, we go to this camp every January. Mm-hmm. And that camp has got a limited number of people who can accommodate, unless you want to pitch your tent, which is not very, you know, thing that most of our group would do. So it limits the number of people that can come to the camp. And in that sense, in order not to offend people, you know, you don't want to admit them and then say, hey, listen, you can't come there. So it becomes a little bit. And so in that way, it is sort of restrictive. It does restrict. Though we welcome people on special occasions, you know, those who are not normal part of the core group to join in. They invited to celebrate, be part of the celebrations or whatever. But not really the core structure, yeah.
So, Sidel, on your OE trip, there are no meeting points like the church or a rosary as such. It is more a social event. So what was the criteria? More the merrier or less the better?
It was actually, I guess for us, the restrictions was more where everyone was staying, because London is a big place and it's hard to meet up when everyone's living in different areas all the time. So I guess that was one limiting factor. We were open to everyone, anyone and everyone really, but I guess what restricted us was the willingness to travel late at night and things. But yeah, that was it. And I think, I feel like social media helped us connect
quite a bit,
because when you're living in different areas or, you know, you're traveling quite often in Europe and things, it's easy to connect because of WhatsApp and all of that.
Okay. So any sort of second thoughts, Anil, that if you were given an opportunity again to set up a community, you would have a different configuration or a different way? Or you would say, well, this is the community that I would belong to?
Well, definitely, grown for 20 years, you would belong to this community. And again, as I said, each community is formed depending on the dynamics or the needs of the day. You know, and over 20 years, the world has changed. And so obviously a community forming today would have different dynamics and different needs. And so obviously, as Adele pointed out, to social media and other things that would, you know, be a big factor in today's modern communities. But for us, we're a little of the old school. We do use social media, but not as a matter of hanging out on social media.
The forwards.
Okay, on that note, let's listen to this very popular song. This goes out to Ivy Fernandez. She has been asking for this song for a long time.
Chega.
ஐக்கதா சுஷேகா தன்பார் ரேடியோ ப்ரோக்ராம் 104.6 பிளானட் எஃப்எம் அவர் அமைச்ச ஸ்டூடியோ தாசா சாத் அனில் பேப்டிஸ்ட் அனி சிடேல் பின்டோ குட்டினோ இஸ் தட் ரைட் சிடேல்
Yes.
Sidel Coutinho. Anyway, we were talking about how communities are formed, what makes people drive to a particular group or how a particular group of communities are established as such. So with that sense of belonging, Anil, of belonging to a group, belonging to a set of families so that you can be a part of the social network, what are the behavioral patterns that you all expected when this community was formed? Were there any rules, regulations? Was it a formal structure that you all put yourself into?
No, as I said again, it was more a social community. So the behavior, because we were all, you know, from the same faith, I think the we were expected to behave within the as the faith dictates. Mm-hmm. You know, and anything that was outside the faith obviously was had to be, you know, sort of looked at. But that was the underlying understanding that you would, you know, behave according to the Bible and the teachings of the church.
So though it was not a prayer group.
No, it wasn't a prayer group.
But still you carried those values and tenets into your interpersonal relationship
true.
As such.
Very true.
How was it as there is no supervision, there is nobody to say, hey, what are you doing, when are you coming back? So on the OE, what did you do, Sidel? Were there any norms? Were there cutoff points?
I think, again, you tend to associate yourselves with people who are more like you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people you don't really get along with, you don't tend to meet or hang out with as much.
Yeah, but
so,
you have such huge amount of freedom, nobody to give you a call
right.
and said, hey, what time are you coming in?
Yeah, but I mean, you've grown up with a certain, with some values and principles and stuff that your parents have sort of instilled in you. And we're all of that age now where I don't think anyone can try and, you know, bind you to certain rules or restrictions anymore. You sort of do what you have grown up with or the values that you have, and that's what, you know, keeps you grounded. So we obviously operated within those. We also were of similar backgrounds and values and stuff, so that's I think what kept us grounded. We knew our limits.
Can you narrate an incident or an instance where you looked out for one another? Was there something where people look out for one another? Suppose you're coming late and you're not coming and you're not informed anybody?
Yeah, I think the fact that, you know, we were three girls living in London and traveling around Europe ourselves, we had to look out for each other. You know, we would go every weekend, we would go somewhere or the other, and yeah, we would go out partying and stuff late in the night. So we did look out for each other, mm-hmm. And especially when you're in a foreign country. I can think of one experience where we were in Milan and my bag got robbed. We were on the way to the airport, but thankfully my passport was with me, but I lost all my cards and everything.
Oh.
And the girls stayed with me on the train station. We went to the police station together and made sure that, you know, we could try and recover whatever we can and do whatever we needed to do. So I think it was just about looking out for each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the unwritten rule? What's the line drawn in sand, Anil, in communities like this? What would you say, hey, you're now crossing the line?
Yeah, that's a hard call to make, but I think it's again, it depends on a particular situation. You know, we had an instance in our community where somebody did cross the line, and it caused a lot of bad blood. I can't tell you what it was, but it did cause a lot of bad blood, and we tried to reconcile it. We knew it was gone because everybody reacted negatively towards it. They didn't like the fact that what this person had done, and obviously we had to then take a call and try to get reconciliation, which didn't work out, and mm-hmm. so we had to, you know, politely mm-hmm. ask them to leave. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to say what's the criteria. But as I said, again, it's a matter of the faith and you know, certain things Mm-hmm. You don't do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you know, when socializing, you know, yeah. things can go a bit out of hand. Drinks are free flowing.
Yeah.
Dancing, music is loud, and you know.
Yeah.
So is there some sort of, hey, hold on, you can't do this.
Well, we have not had that kind of incident. We initial years we did have a little bit of when you're younger and you're a little more aggressive, and we did have some of those conflicts. But as you have aged, I think people are less, they know each other better, and they're not as aggressive as they used to be. So this conflict is minimized. I wouldn't say it's eliminated, but it's minimized.
And we've grown to know each other a bit more as well. You know, what grinds people's gears and what pushes people's buttons, and you know, you uh-huh. tend to do less of it now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's what you say is that over a period of time, these sort of things tend to fall in place, and sort of sets the tone, the mood of the fellowship as such.
Yes, it does set the tone and the mood of the fellowship. Yes.
What about this, as Sidel was talking about, social media? For the youngsters, it is a great thing to take a picture and put it up there and say, hey, you know, I'm here and I'm having this, and I'm at this restaurant as such. Sometimes it's an irritation, because most communities have their own WhatsApp groups or chat groups or whatever it is. So there are people who keep posting about 5 or 6 pictures or 5 or 6 videos, and how is this managed?
Yeah, no. As I said, our community is very, very laid back in this sense. We do very discreet. You know, people do post, but they're not. Some post a lot, but it's. I think it's well within limits. I haven't had any thing that has gone outside the boundary. So as long as you post, not regularly, not frequently, you know, not every day you're posting what you're eating and what you're drinking, and I don't think anybody does that, but it's just when you go on a holiday, you take a photograph and share it with the group, or you're at some function, you might want to just share a photograph or two, and that's welcome, you know, that's good to do that. But I know what you're saying. People consistently posting pictures all the time of themselves, you know,
at 6 o'clock in the morning, at good morning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called mute. Mute and ignore. But no one takes that to heart. No, people ignore these things.
But tell me, for the younger generation, you all have moved from Facebook to WhatsApp to
Instagram.
Chat. Now you're on Instagram or Twitter.
Snapchat
and Twitter. So what is the sort of pressure of remaining within the group, of your so-called social group? What's the pressure? If you're not there on it, or if you don't respond to it, or you don't have a following, what's the pressure?
I think it depends on you as a person. I feel like the people younger than me, I feel old saying younger generation, but I think there is a growing pressure for people to have more followers and to post pictures that people are going to like. It'll improve their likes and things. But at the end of the day, you still got to, you know, realize what's important to you and hold on to your values, really. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I don't find social media a pressure state as such. In terms of our groups and WhatsApp and things, yeah, people do. Some people do post excessively, but you don't always have to respond. And I don't think people take offense if you don't respond sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you would say personal interactions are much more effective and much more bonding than...
Yeah. I think it depends on the circumstances. I think social media is really good to connect people from different parts of the world. I still keep in touch with some friends from kindergarten in Dubai, you know, and that would not have been possible if it was not through social media. So it's good to have those connections. But if you're in the same place and city and whatnot, then it's always better to meet in person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. So you mentioned, Anil, that, you know, there are bound to be conflicts. There are bound to be differences in the community, and your group had such one instance where you had a problem. Normally, how is this sort of prevented or if somebody senses it, how do you prevent it as such?
Obviously, it would be to try to nip it in the bud. I mean, one of the things about our community is really it's a family. So, you know, it's different families coming together. And so we are not really into each other's pockets, so to speak. We live our own lives and we try to keep it that way. So that way the conflict is kind of minimized. You know, initially when you were close together, as I said, when we were just all around the area and we did interact a lot more when we didn't have much opportunities to do other things, that it is, there was more of this sort of thing. But as I said, as we've grown and we've known each other, you know, we find less, you know, and less of these conflicts. Mm-hmm. It's much nice community now, more friendly and more, you know, we can crack jokes at each other, we can, you know, poke fun at each other without
provoking them as such.
Yeah. In the right spirit,
Like, for example, the Rosary group that we belong to, people come from different professions, different social strata, different ethnic, I wouldn't say ethnic background, from different parts of the Goa-Mangalore mix as such. So we don't have one particular ethnic group as such.
Basically, so mangoes.
So yeah, there are Mangalorians, there are Goans, there are East Indians as such. So it's a wide mix as such. Yes, there are conflicts, but as you rightly said, is either they are picked up quite ahead of time or they are nipped in the bud as such. What other things that you would sort of tell people about behavior to make communities more harmonious, more joyful as such? What are other areas? Say money, positions, upward movements?
Money is the least. I think if you bring more money on the table, you're going to have more conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my philosophy is the more the zeros, the bigger the fight. Right,
mm-hmm.
And you probably know from your professional backgrounds that being in, both of you in the money business, you know how a conflict is. So the money should be, to me, keep the transaction as minimal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, my personal rule is not to do business with friends and family. I don't do any business with friends and family. Mm-hmm. Right, but just to keep the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to break a relationship. To build it takes time. To break it is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really do business with friends and relatives. I may refer them to other people, but I don't. So same way, we keep the money out, the minimum, what is needed for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one way to lessen the conflict. That's one way to lessen the conflict.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sidel? What sort of conflicts normally arise in a commune like yours, where there is more of social relationship or professional relationship, or maybe, as you said, childhood relationship? What sort of conflicts, and how are they sort of addressed and mitigated?
I that's a really hard one. I think I'm really blessed to not be in situations where there have been conflict. I think the same group that we're in, we've all sort of grown up now, the kids of the group, I guess. We've all sort of grown up together, and we've not had instances where we've disagreed, or majorly in any way, mm-hmm. or fought or any of that. We're very understanding and open, and I think the behavior that you know helps you avoid those situations of conflict is the understanding bit.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got differences, and it's okay to be different, but it's just being able to respect those differences. And like I said before, you know, some people want to go to a dance or a party, but that's not somebody else's scene, mm-hmm. but they don't attend, and you're
fine with it. So do these off-sites, like a picnic or a road trip, do they help you to
bond and reduce that
friction? So do you all have something like that?
Yeah, we had a lot of picnics growing up. Now, as I said, because things have changed, in the summertime, people used to be around. They used to not travel, but now with this air travel being as cheap as taking a bus, cheaper than taking a taxi to the airport. People do tend to travel during the summer break, and
we all do come together for Kewanis, though.
Yeah, Kewanis. Yeah. Yes, we do come together on the Auckland.
So you have one day appointed.
One weekend, the Auckland anniversary weekend. Yeah. We do all come together. For that. That's like our annual camp. It's like a retreat for us.
It's a bonding program.
It's a bonding program. It does. And that's been going on again for 20 odd years. And uh-huh.
We look forward to it. We book it a year in advance. So uh-huh. You know, Jennifer books it. We go the one Auckland anniversary weekend, and on the Monday, it's already booked for next year. And everyone uh-huh. looks forward to it. The adults, the kids, everyone.
Yeah. Like in our Rosary group, we have a picnic day as such, mm-hmm. Which is normally after the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So that second, which is a holiday, is a picnic day as such. But what about road trips? Are they really great for bonding for the youth?
I think so. I definitely think it is. Especially living in a country like New Zealand, it's so easy to travel to Omaha, which is about an hour and a bit away, or Mangawhai or somewhere else. We in fact are going to a road trip in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to that.
Okay, so on that note, let's listen to this guy. Have you heard this guy, Papi Larry?
Oh yes,
he's singing Konkani song.
Oh, really? So when I was young.
नमस्कार, तुम्ही ऐकतात कोंकणी रेडिओ प्रोग्राम सुशिका दनपार 104.6 प्लॅनेट एफ एम वर. आज मुझे सांगत आसात अनिल बॅप्टिस्ट आणि सिडेल पिंटो कुटिनो. बिफोर वी गो फॉरवर्ड, जस्ट लेट मी रिमाइंड यू दॅट द लेंटन सीझन स्टार्ट्स फ्रॉम द 6th ऑफ मार्च. बॅप्टिस्ट, And the DRC Porta Group have put together a Lenten retreat program starting from Friday, 8th March, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at St. Mary's Church at Mount Albert. And then on Saturday, 9th March, from 1:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception, Avondale. And then on 10th March, from 1:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at St. John Vianney. So all of you who have time or who do not have any other engagements are encouraged to come and participate in these Lenten retreat programs organized by the Divine Retreat Center. So what's your community going to do, Anil, during this retreat? Anything special? Though you all are not a prayer group as such.
Yeah, probably some of our members will attend the retreat. As I said, it's just open to people to you know, these things are put out, and those who feel a need for it, they go. You know, it's no. The moment you start telling people what you have to do, it mm-hmm. becomes a total different dynamics. The dynamics change, and mm-hmm. that's the issue. We can cause conflict. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Sidel?
What am I going to do for Lent? Yeah, we do attend Stations of the Cross at our church, mm-hmm. held every Friday. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there last Lent year, so I don't know if it's still going
what
on. I'm pretty sure what I did. I didn't do very much, to be honest. Last year, don't tell my mother. But
she must be listening at the moment.
She is probably listening. She's probably also texting me right now.
Hallelujah.
You sound just like her.
Well, I sound like her. I'm not as loud as her.
Yeah, you're not, actually. That's true. No, we will attend Stations of the Cross. Anil said, we don't really impose anything on people. We don't do what we... It's a personal thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, we... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all these religious practices following of the Lenten season all stem from a belief. So what's the belief about the community itself as such? What do you think is the future of this community as such?
Well, the community will evolve.
Since you have a constriction or a restriction of the number of people joining the group, which is just about 8 or 10 families, how do you think it will grow and evolve?
Well, I don't know whether it will grow numerically, but definitely it will grow, you know, more in depth probably, because we've been here together for so long, and I guess as we grow older, their needs will change. There'll be definitely a change of needs,
mm-hmm.
and I think the community then will have to respond to the needs. The younger generation will have their own dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and the older generation will have their own dynamics. As you age, obviously, you know, you get into different issues, and so the needs will change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have started from when kids were and then nappies to kind of now kids getting married, then there'll be grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so the dynamics will change. But since we've been together for so long, I guess we will continue as it is said, it's like a family almost, not even a community, you would call it a family really.
So I was talking to a couple the other day who belong to a prayer group,
mm-hmm.
a pretty large prayer group as such, and what they are witnessing at the moment is a depletion in their numbers,
mm-hmm.
Because previously they all came as a family, parents and children, and it became a very vibrant prayer group. But now they are finding it very difficult to get people for their cell meetings because the children have gone, they have got married off, they have got grandchildren, the parents are now the new nannies as such.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a bit of a dynamic. The married kids have gone away from the place, or they've gone to distant locations, or they've moved cities and so on and so forth. So you feel that would not sort of affect the dynamics of your community as such?
Because we don't have regular meetings, you know, when you're in a prayer group, you have to meet so often, you have to do these things. It's a, you know, but we are just, as I said, like a family. So, you know, we just come on special occasions, birthdays, weddings, Christmas, anniversary,
yeah.
Christmas, New Year, Easter.
So keeping the group fluid,
yeah.
keeping the group flexible, no big restrictions, keeping it within certain value system has got disadvantages, what do you say?
Yeah.
As compared to a prayer group.
Definitely. Yeah, prayer groups have got certain dynamics, and the dynamics of prayer group are pretty different from the dynamics of a family dynamics is different from a prayer group dynamics.
So, mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong, I'm not discouraging.
No, it's not. It's different dynamics. That's all I'm saying. It's different. And obviously, the family is just based on love and trust and mutual understanding. Prayer groups are based on what your
belief.
Not only just belief, it's also based on your charter, on what's written in your mission and vision and all that sort of stuff. You know, so
since you guys are going to take over Siddel from all these old fogies, I'm not yet old.
No pressure.
So are any thoughts running through your minds or running through the minds of all the youngsters, or we can do it differently?
I think we'd like to keep it going. We always talk about this every time we meet at Kibani's, the long weekend we talked about earlier. We always talk about this, and we do like each other's company. Like I said, we've grown up together. We want to keep that going. Understanding the fact that, as we grow up and grow older, and where our professions take us, people might move overseas. Mm-hmm. So that's probably imminent. That might in itself bring challenges for how we keep ourselves together. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's the beauty of us just being a family friend circle and in a social group. You know, we will find means to get in touch. We might not meet as regularly, mm-hmm. but we don't have a structure.
So, before we sign off, if there was one thing that you would like to say which make groups like these, which do not have a formal structure, which have an underlying understanding, no formal rules, good dynamics, social gathering, value systems very strong, what is one message that you would like to give out? As the leader of this group or the one who initiated this group, I hope I'm not stepping on a few toes
by calling
you the leader. What is that one message? And what is that one message from Siddel?
One of the modern things that that demand is a flexibility. Is basically not having a formal structure, right? Not having a formal structure, just having a loose structure. Because as I read somewhere, with the new disruptive forces that are coming, like artificial intelligence, robotics, and blockchain technology, the need for flexibility, the rigidity system of the past are no longer going to work. Right? Even the church and the structures are going to have to be redone in order to survive this new mm-hmm. these new forces, and so the communities have to be flexible to adapt to these ongoing changes that come because of these disruptive technologies. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I would recommend that don't have formal, build trust. Communities should be built on trust, not on structures. Happen when there's no trust, then you have to put structures to a law to contain those unwanted, but if there's trust between people, I think groups will, and then there's loose dynamics. Mm-hmm. They'll be mm-hmm. flexible enough to adjust to any situation, that challenges that do come across, because there are going to be a lot coming in the future.
That's a very powerful statement, Anil, that you're making, that trust is the critical factor that drives the communities and will sustain the communities. So that's a very, very profound statement that you're making rather than relying on structures, rules, regulations, etc.
It's built on trust. Relationships are all built on trust. Our faith is built on trust of trusting Jesus Christ. So it's a matter of trust that builds relationships, and that's about it. That's, I can tell you that.
Fantastic. What about you, Siddel?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Anil said. And I think just building on from that, it's about understanding and respecting people's, wants and needs and likes and dislikes. Mm-hmm. I think understanding is very important. You don't all have to do the same thing, and it's okay to be different, like I said before.
So on that note, thanks, Anil. Thanks, Siddel.
Thank you. Thank you
for the rest
us.
Of your evening.
Yeah.
And a great week ahead.
You too.
Thanks for having us, giving us the opportunity to come and be part
of
the program.
Welcome. This is a community program, so all of you are welcome. So on that note, let's listen to Joel Maxwell and Ajit.
ishar karta motit muja ho un moga bibom le plai tu kai haune na jiniye te un moja par kun pole tu jas moga chi kuna tu ye moga utar pancha chi tu ye sanat tu so tim chak se ta ye moga pate sar chak sangi ye tu ye tu ye Chini bongan sungaram tu ye sobin puratir korum tu ye Moga mone subom chak tu ye Tu ye, tu ye Puri so bai tuji ti par sarta tu dev nem cha surya bani tonda moja prakash harta kali mastana suru puryango tuja kal jan za go getla chintana ni stu ka vengundo muga jiho tu za Tu je, 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 tu